Welcome back, friends. We finished off with the last O Antiphon of O Emmanuel, December 23rd, and Isaiah 7:14 in the consideration of the word virgin. So now we're going to want to move into a little bit of practical advice as we go into Advent. And so my first thought would be to read the scripture passages that the church puts before us and reflect in solitude with them, with the Lord. The church is ever insistent on the, as mother, of having us go back and just relish with the scriptures. And then after you have spent some time doing that, then consult with other commentators and perennial church teaching for discernment. I like Aquinas. I like dogmatic. I like all of that. But that's no substitute for me personally. They help to make sure I stay on, I'm on the right track, you know, correct deviancies, give me insight. But first, don't just read those, what other people have to say about it. Don't just rely on other people's exposure to the scripture. Because you yourself may, you know, wherever you're at, the Lord might want to use those scriptures in a personal way for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, the truism, you know, St. Jerome, ignorance of scriptures is ignorance of Christ. There is no substitute for you as an individual engaging in a dialogue with our Lord through the scriptures. You know, he will talk to you. And that doesn't mean that every single time that you sit down to the Bible that you're going to get some type of a profound insight. But, you know, sometimes it takes a long time for that seed to grow. You know, but if you don't plant it, you know, if you don't give it time to you know, be taken into you and to sit in your intellect and to remain, you know, kind of dead as a seed for a long time. You know, it's maybe this is, I often think, you know, our Lord could have made the world in a manner that was perpetually novel, right? Every single day could have led to a new day, a new experience that never was forced to circle back on itself, right? You know, January 1st, there's no reason why we have to come back to January 1st again. You know, December 31st does not need to lead us to another January 1st. The church doesn't have to begin a new calendar year. Like God has so much to offer us that we never have to circle back. And yet he lets us, right? He lets us come back every single year, you know, and you know, as human beings, we can become bored, I guess, by the concept of a lack of novelty, or we can recognize that every single time that we come back to that moment, even though we're revisiting quote unquote the same thing, for us it's new because, and I think we've talked about this before, because I never bring my same self to the Advent season. You know, who I was last year at Advent is different from who I am this year as Advent. And so each year, like maybe something that I read, like O Sapientia, you know, a wisdom who came from the mouth of the Most High, reaching from end to end and ordering all things mightily and sweetly, come and teach us the way of prudence. You know, maybe last year I was highly imprudent, right? Maybe I didn't even know what prudence meant last year. But suddenly this passage is gonna strike me differently because I grow each year. And so our Lord has seen fit to make us the novelty and to allow us to meet him. He stays the same, right? He's ever the same, ever constant, ever unchanging. But we come to him each year. And like you said, you know, you can read other people to fertilize that seed, to try and draw it forth from the ground. But when the moment comes that seed pushes forth, that's for you, right? Mm-hmm. So all of those other things that you have is, I guess you could kind of consider them fertilizer or the way of tilling the ground. But that moment when our Lord wants to engage you, that's when the seed is going to spring forth. That's we prepare the garden floor, we prepare the bed, lay the seed gently, and then wait.
That's right. And one another way of engaging these Oinophons, we mentioned them earlier, and we need to make sure we mention them again under practical advice, is taking advantage of these songs, the chants, the beautiful, beautiful lyrics. You can have the same tune, and it can convey beautiful truths, or it can convey really untruths. Arius. Yeah. So yes. Here's the Arius knew of Arianism, which, my friends, is rampant today as it was back with Jerome. And he knew the power of using catchy little tunes and put heretical ideas to it. Well, that's just Satan's cheap imitation. Right. Let us feast on it. We have so much good holy music, and I love silence. That doesn't, it's not either or, it's and both. But if you can't find the time to sit because maybe you have the clothes or the children or this thing or that thing, maybe you can put scripture on in the house and it can be sung. I've found a number of places in YouTube where they're actually just singing the scripture, and you can get your scripture, soak it in that way.
Right. Yeah, I think that we have become too bound by a false need to understand. And as a result of that, we have sacrificed simply immersing ourselves in beauty. I even think of when you stand before, a great piece of artwork. It's nice that they've got that little piece of information on the side explaining things to me, right? Because like I said, okay, that can be, tilling the ground or adding fertilizer. I mean, it can provide me something. But, when you're standing in front of an image, say of the beautiful Jean-Dominique Ingres doing the beautiful image of our Blessed Mother contemplating the host, right? We've all seen this image of Our Lady dressed in this profoundly gorgeous blue, and then there's a glorious chalice in front of her with the host suspended above it, right? I don't need you to tell me anything about that image, right? I can just immerse myself in it. I can just, that moment with that image puts in front of me such a fertile ground of meditation, right? Of Our Lady adoring her son in the Eucharist is profoundly beautiful. And it's the same thing with these beautiful antiphons. Understanding and comprehension, we must allow ourselves to not only feed the body, right, which is understanding, but there has to also be time during this Advent season that we simply allow the intellect to be kind of immersed in beauty, away from, people will turn on November, whatever Thanksgiving is, and they'll mindlessly put on Christmas music and they'll just listen to that. And, some of it is good, right? I mean, I'm not disputing that that is pleasant, but it's not sublime. It's not angelic. Very few of the modern Christmas, and I hate to call them a carol, modern Christmas songs, right? The music, like Mariah Carey singing to us about, what she wants for Christmas, is nothing in comparison to, the beauty of the nuns of Sacré-Cœur singing to us the sublimity of the angelic truth that is about to be bestowed upon the earth, right? I mean, and like you said before, it's not an either and. We do not have to separate ourselves from the purely natural pleasure of Christmas. There is a joyfulness that just comes from the season of of engaging in Christmas cookies and the smells of peppermint sticks and hot chocolate and the tree being put up. Those are all beautiful, but they're natural. And our Lord made us for not just the natural world, but also the supernatural. And I think that people will find that they will get more pleasure from the natural elements if they allow their intellect to be fed by the sublime truths that come to us through these, the beauty of the song antiphons.
I agree.
Turn your WKAU off every now and again, and simply put the Benedictine monks or the lovely sisters. Especially as Catholics, this is our heritage. Why should we not introduce ourselves to the beauty of our history, even as we long for the Arrow Cross, the joy of what comes tomorrow?
That's right. That's right, my friends. Well, Sarah and I wish you and yours a very, very happy Advent. And to the next time, Fides et Ratio.
Yes.